one of the ones who was most affected, and tears were rolling down his cheeks as he was telling me about this. It was so real to him. And I said, wow, that sounds incredible. Let's see what happens. 10 days later, he came into my office and he said, on Friday, the dream came true. The same speaker that I had seen in my dream and never met before spoke, and revival broke out just as I had dreamed, and the Lord ministered to me just as I had dreamed. Incredible, you know. Pastor Bill talked about Acts chapter 29 experiences. I call these Acts chapter 29 and Daniel chapter 13 experiences. Experiences that could have occurred right in the Bible, but are occurring today. If you're interested, I have compiled about 235 of these stories in a compilation that I call Spiritual Warfare Case Studies. If you would like to receive a copy of that and have your heart blessed with story after incredible story of what God is doing around the world, just email us at brianflickner@gmail.com. brianflickner@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of those stories. Every church we go to has several who email us and want a copy of those stories and then tell us later how much they've been blessed through those stories. One day, Kulego and two other students had a free afternoon and decided to go out witnessing. He was about 21. Can you imagine three 21-year-olds in the States saying, we have a free afternoon, let's go out witnessing. But that's the kind of guys these are. They went out, and he started talking with a 20-something guy named Kevin. And as he was talking with Kevin and about to share the gospel, the Lord revealed to him that there were four friends of Kevin's who were causing him to drink too much and causing hurt to his relationship with his wife. And he said, your relationship with your wife isn't very good, is it? And it's because you have four friends that are keeping you from doing the best in your relationship with her. Kevin's jaw dropped and he said, how did you know that? And Kulalego said, because the Lord told me. He wants you to follow him. And Kevin did just that. Within a few minutes, he was on his knees asking Jesus to come into his heart. And he broke off with those four friends and is still following the Lord. And Kulalego planted a church in his hometown of Bandini in 2011. And now has over 50 attending. Demons are regularly cast out of people in his church. Bandini is a very spiritually dark area where a powerful witch doctor has ruled over that area for years now. But the light of the gospel is making inroads into this spiritual stronghold, and more people are coming to know the Lord. Kulalego was led to the Lord by Tokozo, who came to Durban Bible College a year after Kulalego. Tokozo is also from Mandini, and as the presentation showed, he, within a few months, was able to baptize 23 people whom he had led to the Lord, and he also has many people in his area that are suffering from enslavement to the devil, enslavement to demons. One morning, I was attending his church, and there was an unearthly scream in the middle of the service. And Tokozo asked people to bring her up to the front, and it took four people holding with all their might to keep her down as the demon took control. And it took about 15 minutes to cast the demon out of the girl. She was led back to her house after church to go to talk with her, and she said, you know, she couldn't remember a thing. He said, do you remember saying this? Do you remember doing that? She couldn't remember a thing. This is the case with demonized individuals. They can't remember what is taking place when a demon is in control of their lives. During the week we were in Mandini, there might be anywhere from 2 to 15 demonized individuals on the floor. And it's very loud, and it's a typical Pentecostal service. It would be out of your comfort zone. But they are shouting for the demons to come out of these people. And the whole community knows what's going on because they can hear it. And the whole community can attest to the fact this individual, on this particular evening, was delivered from demons by the people in that church. And they are then drawn to come to know Christ as well. What I love to do more than anything else is to disciple someone who is able to disciple others to disciple others. And I think that's God's calling on my life. That's what I want to spend the rest of my years doing. And that's what we're going to be doing more and more of this term and the following terms. I will be doing less administrative things at Durham Bible College and more discipling, less things like being chaplain and leading music, and more going into the villages with the men and leading people to the Lord with them, discipling people to the Lord with them, and they in turn then practicing that with still others. The title of my message this morning is Don't Waste Your Life, Be Missional. Don't waste your life, be missional. And the passage we're going to be looking at is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Don't complacently settle for a merely comfortable existence. Most Christians slip by in life without a passion for God, spending their lives on trivial diversions, living for comfort and pleasure, and perhaps trying to avoid sin. In this message, I will attempt to warn you not to get caught up in a life that counts for nothing. Growing up as a missionary kid in India, we had a plaque in our boarding school that said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I've never forgotten that. What is a waste of life? Consider this story from the February 1998 Reader's Digest. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells. That is a tragedy. That is a wasted life. In contrast, consider Katie Gersey, an 83-year-old tea missionary who just came back to America for medical reasons. She never got married, although she had plenty of suitors when she was younger, because she wanted to fulfill the call of God on her life to be a missionary in South Africa. After she retired, she spent her retirement at the bedside of hospitalized AIDS patients, winning them to the Lord. One of her prayer letters began with the words, "When a life demonstrates obedience to the call of God and service to Christ, the cost is irrelevant." Later in the letter, she told this story. Samkalasiwe feebly beckoned me to her bed. She indicated that she couldn't speak due to a mouthful of sores from AIDS. I asked her if she wanted to learn about Jesus. With effort, she nodded her head. Carefully, I presented through the scriptures the love of God and Jesus as seen in his sacrificial death on the cross. At one point, when interrupted, she managed a desperate whisper, "Keep going." When asked, "Would you like this Jesus to be your Savior, forgive your sins, and come into your life?" Again, a feeble nod. I prayed slowly, pausing after every few words so that she could repeat them in her heart and make them her own prayer of repentance. Afterwards, when asked where Jesus was, with great effort, she put her hand over her heart. I left the ward weeping over God's amazing grace and the ugliness of AIDS. Samkalasiwe went to be with the Lord 3 days later. And Katie ends by saying, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." In those hospital beds, it isn't comfortable, it isn't pleasant, death is in the air. The smells are sometimes terrible. But when God steps into that atmosphere and saves a precious soul like Samkalasiwe, and you partner with him in getting that done, life doesn't get any better than that. That's what God created us for. That's a life not wasted. That's living. A wasted life is living for any purpose other than the one for which God created us. God created us to glorify himself. How do we best glorify God? I think the two best ways we can glorify God are to become like his Son, Jesus Christ, and to obey Jesus Christ. So, what was Jesus Christ's purpose? He said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." In Luke 19:10, he said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Mark 10:45. His last command to his disciples was in Acts 1:8. "You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Most Americans think you're a good Christian if you attend all the church services, if you pay your tithes and taxes, if you love your spouse, if you play with your kids, and if you do a good job at work. But according to Jesus, you're not a good Christian if you're not a witnessing Christian. I'm not a good Christian most of the time. You probably aren't good Christians most of the time. You see, when we became Christians, we became partakers of God's divine nature, it tells us in 2 Peter 1:4. So God's DNA resides within us, his divine nature attributes. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That DNA beats within us, and it beats with a deep compassion for the lost. If you don't have that, ask God to re-imprint it in your heart. The hearts of all great men of God have beat with a passion for souls. Listen to David Brainerd. "I care not where I live or what hardships I go through, so that I can but gain souls to Christ. While I am asleep, I dream of these things. As soon as I awake, the first thing I think of is this great work. All my desire is the conversion of sinners, and all my hope is in God. George Whitefield said, "Oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul." Praying high, "Father, give me souls or I die." Paul said, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Acts 20:24. Paul was single-mindedly devoted to this one great task of reaching the world for Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, Paul tells us how to prioritize our lives. He says in verse 16, "Look beyond the physical to the spiritual." Look beyond the physical to the spiritual. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." I'm reading from the NIV. Literally, that says, "Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day." Paul is saying, what does it matter if our physical body is wasting away, as long as our eternal spirit is being renewed day by day? Secondly, in verse 17, not only look beyond the physical to the spiritual, but look beyond the present to the future. Look beyond the present to the future. "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Serving Christ is not easy. It's not easy to knock on doors. And I'm not the greatest mentor in the world. I remember on one missions trip, it was raining outside. So as we gathered for our morning devotions, I said, "Well, it doesn't look as if we'll be going out door-to-door witnessing today because of the rain." You know, the students looked at me and said, "Why not?" Good question. So we went out and we led a soul to the Lord. There's suffering involved when you live for Christ. Over 250 Christians are dying every day around the world because of their faith in Christ and their stand for Him. Over 250. But the troubles that we face are nothing compared to the eternal glory that awaits us when we go to heaven. Look beyond the physical to the spiritual, verse 16. Look beyond the present to the future, verse 17. Look beyond the temporal to the eternal, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says it's foolish to live only in light of what you can experience with your five senses, because that is transitory, that's temporary. Rather, live in light of eternity. There is no greater cause than the cause of Christ, and each of you has been called to that great cause. Don't settle for something immeasurably less. Don't waste your life. I love this quote. George Bernard Shaw wrote, "This is the true joy of life, the being used up for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one, being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little plot of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." Isn't that great? We must live for something far greater than complaining of our ailments to others. You waste your life when you don't live in light of eternity. You waste your life when you don't use your time, treasure, and talents for God. Concerning treasure, 15% of Christ's teachings are devoted to this issue of finances and how we use them, more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. Give liberally to the cause of Christ. It's the best investment you can make, and what an investment it is. Listen to what God is doing around the world. 5,600 new churches are opening every week worldwide. The church in Africa is increasing by 20,000 per day. Sub-Saharan Africa, as I mentioned in Sunday school, was 3% Christian. In 1900, it's 60% Christian today. Worldwide, Christianity is growing at the rate of 100,000 new believers every day. Just based on the Jesus film alone, which has been viewed by over 6 billion, 225 million plus have trusted in Christ as a result of seeing the Jesus film. Every 4 seconds, someone comes to know the Lord through the Jesus film. That's like the population of the city of New York coming to Christ every year, just through the Jesus film alone. 6 million Muslims are coming to know the Lord. And a lot of those are coming every year. And a lot of those are coming to know the Lord through dreams and visions. I did a survey of how Durban Hindus had come to know Christ. And 20% of them had come to know the Lord through either a dream or a vision or someone being healed in their family as a result of the prayer of a Christian. Jesus Christ could come at any time. If you're not working to prepare for his coming, you're wasting your life. In his book, Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper writes the following. Oh, how many lives are wasted by people who believe that the Christian life means simply avoiding badness and providing for the family. So there is no adultery, no stealing, no killing, no embezzlement, no fraud, just lots of hard work during the day and lots of TV and PG-13 videos in the evening during quality family time and lots of fun stuff on the weekend woven around church, mostly. This is life for millions of people. Wasted life. We were created for more, far more. Television is one of the greatest life wasters of the modern age. And of course, the internet is running to catch up and may have caught up already. The main problem with TV is not how much smut is available, though that is a problem. The greater problem is banality. A mind fed daily on TV diminishes. Your mind was made to know and love God. Its facility for this great calling is ruined by excessive TV. Unquote. C.S. Lewis said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. Kids are playing video war games. That's make-believe. Get them involved in a real-life war game, the spiritual battle for souls, and see if they don't start living a life that counts for Christ rather than a wasted life. Living in light of eternity means that we have a spiritual warfare perspective. We recognize that we are soldiers of the cross and we are needed in this cosmic battle for souls that ends up in eternal destinies for individuals. The greatest cause in the world is joyfully rescuing people from hell and helping them become like Christ their King. No war on earth was ever fought for a greater cause or for a greater King. C.T. Studd is one of my heroes. I grew up wanting to be a missionary kid. I mean, wanting to be a missionary. Others wanted to be firemen or cowboys or policemen. So missionaries are my heroes. He once said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. He also said, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Yes, that's what life is all about. It's not being comfortable, it's not being complacent, it's not living heaven on earth. It's working for the cause of Christ, and then enjoying our reward when we get to heaven. I'd like to show a television commercial from the land of South Africa that comes from Nedbank, which is one of the biggest banks in South Africa. Make the right investment. Reap the right reward. Dear brothers, dear sisters, please don't waste your life. We were created for greater things than heaping up for ourselves treasures on earth that we can't take with us when we die. God wants us to partner with Him in turning this world upside down for Christ. You have a choice. You can live for yourself, or you can live for your Savior. You can live for the temporal, or you can live for the eternal. The first option ends in a totally wasted life. Living for God, on the other hand, gives you inexpressible joy and satisfaction with life. May we all make the right choice.